You worship God through obedience. Follow through in things that are ready for you to do. The big ones will come. Don't worry about it. It'll come. But be good at the small things.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Palm Sunday, April 13th, 2025. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled Joshua. And our text today comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
Well, this is a special Sunday, maybe because you're here, but it's actually special because today is marks our 46th year in the church. So that's what I took offense to Jeff when he said age. But anyway, but you can't have 46 years in a church and not age with it. But I remember that first time that I came to church, and it was an amazing church. It still is. And my predecessor had been here for 26 and a half years, Brother Ash. And I said to myself, oh, dear God, poor thing. And I saw his office, which was a four by four, very small place. And I said, oh, dear God, how did he do that? And I said, well, if the Lord is good, I'll be here 5 years. So I remember when we passed the 26 and a half year in the calendar, and we made a festivity. And the mayor of the city of Montebello came and gave us a plaque and all the stuff, you know. Very little. I mean, in my wildest imagination, did I ever think or conceive that I would be here for 46 years and ticket. Every year I preach the same sermon that everybody forgets. That's why I can preach it, you know. Because I do know my audience very well. And, but it was an amazing Sunday. Jeff was 1 year old. And he's no longer 1 year old. Though sometimes he acts like it. But I got to get even with him somehow, some way, you know. So, but it was quite a time. And things were different then, completely different than they are today. But you know what? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We serve the same Lord. He's the Lord that helped us and strengthened us. And we went through very difficult waters at first. And yet God blessed our church in such a way. We had three services on Sunday, two in the morning and one in the evening. And the people who came in the evening service were the spiritual ones. Sort of like. And then we had the Wednesday service, and then we had the Tuesday service for the ladies, and it was always something going on, and it was a time of great production. I'm talking about going back to the 70s, brothers and sisters. Some of you were not even born or thought of, let alone born, you know. But anyway, so the Lord was good. It's been good to us, and I thank the Lord for the faithfulness of our church council. Standing with me and with Wilma and doing the work that the Lord called us to do. I know there's a couple of you who have been here all this time. Who was here that famous day when I came here and just blew everybody away with my good looks and my curly hair and not my white eye? Let me see. Where are you? Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow. The rest of them are in Rose Hills. Well, it's true. I've said if I were to have a reunion, there would be more people in Rose Hills than here, you know. And I can think of some of them who have gone before us, beautiful people in the presence of the Lord, beautiful people that serve the Lord with all their hearts. And I have to admit that church council that we had was a knockout. We have a good church council this year too, but that church council, they were the spinal column of our church. And we still have two that continue to this day, and that will be Brother Andy and Brother Ralph. They've been with us all those years. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing how the Lord calls people into places of leadership and puts them there, and they guide you. And there's nothing more important than the local church ministering to local needs, people like you and me, having a place to worship the Lord, having a place to have our wounds healed and sense the presence and the mightiness of God in our lives. So may the Lord bless us, and may the Lord give us another year or so or two or whatever many years he wants us to do. Whether I will be here in the pulpit next year or not, it's totally up to the Lord. I have no plans of walking away into the shadows of life. I plan to live here until the year 2170. So we have a way to go. So the first message I preached in this church is the one that I will attempt to duplicate this morning. And it's found in Joshua chapter 1. And it was a message that was put together with a lot of trembling and nervousness, for I was facing a new audience, a new church, and I did not know how I would be received, neither did Wilma. But the Lord, in his great graciousness, showed me this text, and I have been delivering this message, not every year, but mostly every year at this time. Palm Sunday. So let's look at it. Joshua chapter 1, and let's go through the verses. Let's see them up there. And it begins by saying, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide. But before you go there, it was so difficult for me to go into this verse because Brother Ash was moving away, and I did not want anybody to think that he was dead. But anyway, that's the whole point. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, this is what he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now they, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. Verse 3, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your test territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the great sea of the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. And verse 7, be strong and be very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. And the last verse, verse 8 for us, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous. And what? Successful. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. It's amazing how the world goes on. You think everything depends on you, and yet it doesn't. And in this part, we see Moses dying, great lawgiver, great man of God. But God continued to work in the life of his people, and he raised Joshua as a leader. And God gave him specific strength. And the strength that Joshua had is the one that we want to, in many ways, imitate and live through. Let me just carefully go through three ways in which God helps you, the strength that flows from you and from me, so that we can do the work of the ministry. So this is the first one. The strength God gives to his leaders flows from, first of all, a faithful past, secondly, a divine calling, and thirdly, a life of discipleship. And all of them are perfectly modeled in Jesus Christ. So we find the first concept that strength comes through a faithful past. When you read the scriptures, you see that Moses was a servant or a minister for Moses. He was Moses' water boy. Whatever he wanted, Joshua go get, fetch, he would. There was decades of quiet faithfulness prepared Joshua for public ministry. There are small things in your life and in my life that sometimes we consider to be trivial and not important. And yet it was what constituted the backbone of Joshua's call and Joshua's ministry to his people. Joshua had decades of quiet faithfulness that prepared him for public obedience. Small things. What Moses wanted, he got. Small things. Secondly, I can say to you that Jesus is the same way, because Jesus also waited before he went into public ministry. As a matter of fact, Jesus waited 30 years. He submitted to ordinary life. He learned obedience at home with his parents. He honored them. And he labored in a carpenter's shop for 30 years in obscurity. As a matter of fact, we have no record testimony as to how all of that happened. But we do know one thing, that he labored with honesty, and people knew that he was the carpenter and that he knew he was Joseph's stepson. Yes. The idea of doing small things in obscurity prepares you for the big picture. It's the small things that count. And so one of the great authors of Joshua, that is to say, expositors, said very clearly that the seal of heaven was on his first 30 years of obscurity at home. Let me tell you, some of us wonder if God's ever going to use us, but he will use you. But all of us have a time of trial, a time of testing. Because before Christ even preached, before he ministered to the sick, or before he even called the disciples, he practiced faithfulness in the small things. It was faithfulness that was hidden, that only he knew and God knew. And there are things that we're asked to do many times that we would like for the whole world to know, and yet no. It's between you and God, testing your heart, testing your life. And so a faithful carpenter for years. And, you know, the most amazing thing about Jesus' 30 years is that he attended a synagogue, a dead synagogue, a dead church service. He still went. He went. He attended. He went through it all until one day when God opened the heavens and he said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." And this is what this is all about, brothers and sisters. If Jesus embraced obscurity before stepping into mission, so must we. This is what happened to Joshua. He ministered to Moses. He did what Moses wanted him to do. Jesus did the things the Father wanted him to do, and then it happened. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." So your small duties, your small daily obedience carries eternal weight when done before God. So when you want to serve the Lord, you are not to ask for the big lights. You are to ask for the small lights. When you're serving the Lord, you start from the bottom up. When you want to do something for God, you do things and tasks that people don't even notice that you're doing. I mean, come on. I'm no example, but I did everything when I was a young kid. I used to be one. Don't laugh, but I was young once. And I remember cleaning toilets at the church, Church of the Redeemer in Bowling Park. I remember working with the Royal Rangers. It was like the Boy Scouts, and I was the chaplain wearing a little cross here. I remember going to the crazy camps in the desert, being chased by bats one time. Yeah. I remember things that I did that were crazy, and nobody paid attention to it. And the idea of cleaning and ordering things and just saying, "Pastor, what do you want?" And I mean, I was there for the small things until the big things came. And you know what? I missed the fall things. I had it made, you know. I've often said to the Lord, "Lord, why don't you make me an usher in the church? I gladly serve as an usher, because then I don't have to preach. I just have to just do, and that's my destiny before you." But God has a call in our lives, and according to our willingness to serve, he will use us for his glory. But you have to be faithful in the small things. Porque a alguno se le va la cabeza. I'm speaking in Spanish now. It's not tongues. Se le va la cabeza. You go crazy. You want the pulpit. You want the likes. You want it. That's the world. Listen, as Christians, we serve him in the small things. So please, don't put down the small things. Not just in church, but in the home. Cooking that meal. Cleaning that room. Washing the dishes. Doing it as a service unto the Lord. Everything we do for the glory of God. Every task in your life is unto the Lord. And don't minimize it just because people are not applauding you. Do it because it's your reasonable service. You worship God through obedience. Follow through in things that are ready for you to do. The big ones will come. Don't worry about it. It'll come. But be good at the small things. And let me just tell you, you have it made when it's small. Let me move on. So the first strength was faithful past. The second strength was a clear call of God in the life of Joshua. He said, be strong. I will be with you. And there's something amazing about God's calling in your life. It caused Joshua to tremble. It caused Joshua to lose it. It caused Joshua, oh, my goodness, everything about him was going to just collapse. I get worried when people say, I'm called of God, and they show off how much they're called of God. And they're kind of like flamboyant, and they're kind of like, it's beyond simple confidence. It's just showing off. Because listen, this is what Joshua responds, God responded to Joshua. He said it, you know, be strong. Why would he say that? Be courageous. Why did he say that? Because he wasn't strong and he wasn't courageous. And God calls us where we are, in the midst of our question marks, in the midst of our, is it really true? Do I really need to do this? It is in the quest of our impossibility. It is when we think we can't do it that God intervenes in our life. And I'm telling you, Joshua was afraid. Be courageous. Come on, grow up. Come on, face life. Come on, don't chicken out. I am with you. And that is the equation that you need to look in God's calling in your life. That you're not calling yourself to do something, but that God is calling you to do something. God's call, not your call. Many people call themselves. Joshua was called of God. And you know, when we come to Christ, we find that there is this centrality. It's a centrality with Christ. We're celebrating Palm Sunday today. He went to the cross. On Palm Sunday, we celebrate him going into Jerusalem to his crucifixion. And he went to the cross not because it was easy, but because he was sent. And there are things in our life that God will send us to do that are not easy, but he still sends us. Jesus was sustained by his calling, just like Joshua was. When you read the book of Joshua, you find out all the stuff he had to put up with. And just before, when you think he had resolved the issues in the land of Canaan as he was conquering it, the Philistines would always survive, a surprise. And all of us have Philistines in our lives. When you think we've got it all done and everything's nice and packed, here it comes again. The opposition, the pushback, the uncertainties, the difficulties. You thought it had been settled. You thought you had won the battle. And here comes the battle again. And that's how it is. That's how it is in the Christian life. But look, Jesus went to the cross because he was sent to go in the cross. And you and I do what we have to do because God has sent us. You know, someone who has a call of God is never at the mercy of anything. Just don't call yourself. Let the Lord call you. See, Jesus never wavered in his calling. He knew what he had to do. And he rejected every rival agenda in his life. Remember, he was tempted in the wilderness. He's the Son of God. You think you're not going to be tempted or thwarted for you not to do what God wants you to do? There are things God has put in your place for you to do, And you have all kinds of excuses for not going through. But I'm telling you, you got to do it. Because you will be tempted to abandon it and to walk away and to acquire a different agenda. But God's calling you is upon you. And you will need to deliver. Yes, you will. Jesus rejected every one of those agendas. Tempted in the wilderness. He was rejected by his hometown. My goodness. I feel that whole concern today, you know. I want to belong. I know I want to belong too. But sometimes those belongings are really our downfall. You got to belong to God and God's call in your life. He was rejected by his own people. And in Gethsemane, he was sweating drops of sweat like blood in Gethsemane. Let me tell you, when you say you're going to serve God, you're going to serve God because you are called. And the strength of Joshua was that he was called of God. Are you called? Yes, you are. You need to step up. In the small things that you're doing, do it. And then understand God's call over your life. May I just conclude by saying, don't ever trust your own qualifications. Don't think you need to be qualified. You need to be called. God qualifies you. That's so important in your life. Trust your caller. Trust God. See, Jesus found strength by saying yes to the Father. And so can you. Let your call be your courage. God has called me. God has called me. Gee, qué silencio que hay aquí. But you know I'm saying the truth. God's called you to Beverly. Make it count. God has called you to your job. Make it count. God has called you to be a husband, a wife. Make it count. God has called you to be a parent. Make it count. God has called you to that job of yours that you don't like that you have to face tomorrow. Make it count. Yeah. Make it. You got parents you don't like. Make it count. You got children you would like to dispatch for where they came from. Make it count. I mean, down to the nitty-gritty of everyday life. Make it count. God has called you, has given to you certain abilities to perform God's presence in that context. Then there's one last. And I'm not doing bad for a short message, huh? We have something going on, you know, that I need to do everything in 25 minutes because if, anyway, whatever. I'm not even looking at the clock today, but I'm okay. I'm in time. So the first thing is, people laugh, but sometimes people start yawning, you know. The yawning I don't mind is when they're knocked out, you know. Anyway, it happens. It's okay. I'd rather you fall asleep here in the church than at home. But I better leave it where it is. I could go on, but I'm going to leave it there. But look, the first thing that you and I need to understand is that Joshua's strength came. He came. Because he was faithful in the small things. And secondly, because he had a call of God to do what he was doing. But there is a third one. That's the one that gets most of us. And it's that he had a life of holiness. Another word for it, he had a life of discipleship in the word. We've been talking about that. The Lord says to him, to Joshua, the book of this law shall not depart, verse 8. So there was a commitment and a command to meditate, to obey, to live out the word daily. We've been stressing this to you, stressing it to myself, that we must be disciples of Christ. That we need to learn from him speaking to us directly. And sharing the goodness of God in community. Joshua was commanded to meditate and to obey and to live in the word every single day. That's what he did. He says, if you do that, you will prosper. Which means if you don't do that, you won't prosper. And you know, some of us have so much to do and so much to give. And yet we stumble because we fail to, quote, enter into his presence. For him to speak, for him to guide. You know, we talk about the Lord is my shepherd. We can all say it, right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you know, you keep reading and it says he restores my soul. But the one I love the most and the one that I'm centered on this last days is this last days since I've been reading the Psalms is that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Every single stinking day. And sometimes they stink. Surely goodness, that's the good part. And mercy, because I'm going to mess up. The mercy is going to be there, will follow me all the days of my life. And this is what it means through our discipleship of the Word, being in the Word of God, learning from Him. Did you know that you cannot pastor yourself? Only Jesus can pastor you. And do you know how you are pastored? When you're close to the shepherd, when you spend time with him. When Jesus came to this world, he was made, the Word made flesh, and yet he lived a life of commitment and discipleship to the Word. You know, when the devil came to him, how did he refute the devil? He said, "Hey, devil, I'm the Son of God. Get out of here." He didn't say, "I'm a member of the Beverly Boulevard Forest Square Church, devil. Get out of here." It doesn't carry any weight. "Hey, I go to church on Sundays." "Oh, not all the time, but I go there." You know. It doesn't say, "Well, I sometimes tithe." That's not how it works. This is why it works. Jesus said, "It is written." He quoted the scripture to Satan himself in the face, and there was nothing that the devil could do. But in order for you to quote scripture in the midst of your temptation, in the midst of your trial, you got to be in the Word. You got to know the Word. You do. You need to say, "It is written. It is written." Devil, you have nothing on me. You look at the circumstances. You have nothing on me. When the waves come, the Lord will raise up a standard against it. You have the Word to combat for you. The Word does the fighting for you. When he taught, Jesus, when he taught, he quoted the Psalms. He quoted the prophets, the Torah. He knew the scriptures. When he prayed the scriptures themselves. He was filled with scripture. And that's where his power came from. A life of surrendered to the will of God, understanding it through scripture, which is the only way. So you see, Jesus didn't wing it. How many of you are winging it today? Ah, si me sale, me sale. Si no me sale, pues no me sale. How many are winging it today? Huh? He didn't wing it. He walked in intimacy with the Father through the Word. There are moments in my life in this last 46 years, quickly becoming 47, 48, 49. Oh God, 50, dear Lord. That I have to stop my day. And it's true, I'm not 31 years old anymore. Hope to. Sometimes I see those pictures of me and I say, "Who's that?" And it's gonna happen to you too, but at least I can reflect and say that, you know. But there are times in my life when I have to stop everything and just take a deep breath and think about God. And go into his words and just read. And sometimes nothing happens, not at that moment, but a day goes by or 2 days go by, and whatever burdens I had, they disappear. They disappear because that's what intimacy with the Father does. When you come close to him, again, we've said it. Peter says, "Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." The word knowledge means intimacy with the Lord. And this is exactly right. Jesus was intimate with the Father through the Word, and he taught his disciples to abide in me and let my words abide in you. So trying to conclude this Sunday morning, which I will do rather quickly, to lead well, I must live in the Word. To lead my life, I'm not talking about public ministry. I'm talking to lead your life. For your life to be not waste, but to be productive. You have to live in the Word, because everything that you do matters. The Word in your mouth. Oops. Your Word in your heart. And the habits that you have, those are the reservoirs of who you are. How much of the Word is in you. And this is, my brothers and sisters, the way in which God draws from that strength to help others and to be a true servant of the Lord in the kitchen, in the nursery, at the job, driving, whatever, your whole lifetime. So I conclude this Sunday morning, which gives me 10 more minutes. Joshua was strong not because he was impressive. Oh, yeah, you can look at this. Yeah. No, but there were three things in his life. He was faithful in obscurity, like Jesus in Nazareth. He was called with clarity, like Jesus in Gethsemane. And he was formed through the Word, like Jesus in the wilderness and on the cross. So my message to you in this 46th year of my staying here is that that's exactly the way I keep going to keep on going. And I hear the words of the Lord that says to you and to me, be strong and of good courage, for the Lord your God is with you. And he has not left me for 46 good years. So thank the Lord. You know, the Lord lives in your heart and in my heart, so let him be your strength. Let him be your call. Let him be your pattern. Let him be your power. Serve the Lord. Serve him where you are. At the home. At work. Behind the car. Doing whatever you do for a living, serve the Lord. Honor the Lord. Everything you do, do for the glory of God. I think it's time to dismiss. So, Lord, we thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness in our lives for 37 years and 47 years. Thank you, Lord, for all the years you've given us, Lord. It's amazing. But you, Lord, you dwell in eternity, Lord. And 46 years, 47, 48, 90, it means nothing. But to us, Lord, who are admonished to count our days and to find in them wisdom, it's a lot. And so, Lord, with that perspective, we thank you and we praise you, Lord. And we ask that all of us here would serve you, looking for the strength that only comes from you. Bless us and strengthen us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Greet one another in the love of the Lord.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to watch the full service with the worship time included, you can check out our Facebook page. For more information about our church, go to our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.